audience of the Jewish nation, proving to them forcefully that Jesus is the King of the Jews. He begins by sharing his humble birth, helping them to see, even from his birth, the emphasis on kingship is there. This idea of him being a king, it was well known throughout Old Testament prophecies. There was coming a Messiah, the Anointed One, who would serve as king in the lineage of David, who was the most prolific king that Israel had ever known. So in the lineage of David, he begins with a genealogy in chapter 1, sharing with you the fact that he is the son of David, the son of Abraham. And throughout all of his lineage, it all points to the fact that a king is coming. And so he focuses our attention on some wise men who came from the east, wise men who came perhaps as far away as Persia. Some even say that these men grew up in a tradition, having been shown and having been exposed to the great prophecies that Daniel shared with King Nebuchadnezzar. And so it's not unusual for these wise men who are Gentiles to have come in contact with the knowledge of a king that was coming. And so as I speak to you this morning, I just want to emphasize, so much to emphasize in this story, but I just want to highlight the wise men. And I'm going to ask you the question, are we as wise as they? Are we as wise as they? And what I want to share with you is, number one, the awareness of these men. And then number two, I want to share with you the tremendous effort that they put forth. And then thirdly, I want to share with you concerning the gifts that these men present to Jesus. Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen, even in his birth, the emphasis is placed on worship. For the Bible says that these men had come from the east to worship him. So the whole idea is about worship. Even as an infant, perhaps now about 2 years of age, they understood the significance of such a man being born, that even in his birth, he deserved worship. These were some wise men. Perhaps they were magi, astrologists, counselors. Only thing we know is that these men, they sought Jesus because of an awareness. May I go back and just reemphasize the great dream that God had given Nebuchadnezzar? He dreamed of a great beast. The head was of gold. The breast and the arms were of silver, and the belly and the thighs were brass, and the legs were of iron. But the feet were mixed with iron clay. And then that was a stone that was cut out of the mountain and hit the beast. And when it hit the beast, it destroyed the beast. the gold, the silver, the brass, the bronze, and even the iron, all of it became like the chaff which the wind drives away. But that stone became a great mountain, and it filled all of the earth. And then that's when Daniel told King Nebuchadnezzar, in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall not be destroyed, which shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces, consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Amen. And so these wise men, by this time, they have seen Babylon fall. They have seen Persia, the Medes fall. By this time, even the Grecian kingdom under Alexander has fallen. Now Rome, under the Caesars. And it has been prophesied that in the days of these Roman kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom. And I am assured of the fact that these wise men knew this prophecy. And if that much of it has been true, then the rest of it has got to be true as well. And so they understood not only from Daniel's prophecy, but I'm sure they had to be exposed to other prophecies. 2 Samuel 7:12, how God prophesied that he would set up a seed after David and he would give him a kingdom, and how that kingdom would never be destroyed, and how that kingdom would live forever. And the one that would sit on that throne, he would live forever. And so by the time these men who are aware of a star, they've been watching the heavens and they saw a phenomenon that they had never seen. It was a star. It wasn't comets coming together. It wasn't a comet. It wasn't planets coming together. No, this was supernatural. Someone said, well, what about the star? I'm going to tell you about the star, the one who led Israel with a cloud and a pillar of fire, the same God who can put a star that has never appeared before. And I like the fact that these men were aware. Something has changed. We ought to live a life of awareness. You ought to not just live around and just be concerned about your living space. The world is larger than that. You ought to be able to be aware that a star is in the east. Something's going on in the world that has never gone on before. But if you're all caught up in yourself, you'll never notice that something else is happening that's giving us hope and giving us something to live for. More is happening in your neighborhood than just on your street and in your house. Everything is not bad. That's something good. And you got to be able to notice it. And I give them credit that they noticed it. And they're aware of the fact that based on the scripture, there's got to be somebody fulfilling the prophecies. And based on Numbers 24 and 16, they understood that a star out of Jacob and the scepter shall rise out of Israel. And so they knew. And they follow this star. So all I'm saying to us this morning is that Jesus is worthy. Hear me well. He's worthy of worship. I'm going on record and saying that there ain't nobody as worthy of worship. Now, there's some others who want it. There's some others who think they deserve it. But I'm on record saying ain't nobody worthy of worship like this man Jesus. And if you're wise like these wise men, you'll try to find him. And when you find him, you'll worship him. I like them not only because of their awareness, but I like these men because of the effort. Now, I don't know what they were doing when they saw the star, but they were in Persia or in Babylon or Mesopotamia area, and the star was in the east, and they knew that the star was announcing the birth of a king. And so they began to put forth effort. And I'm wondering, because that's a 200-mile journey. 200-mile journey. And it's going to take them 4 months. 4 months to get there. Now, I don't know what they were doing. I don't know what they were doing before they saw the star and before they planned to go. But I know that it took some planning. You don't just up and go. You got to plan your trip. Amen. And I'm sure that they had to talk to their wives. And, you know, they're not wise men if they're not married. They got to be wise men, you know. But anyway, you won't read that in the text. But I am saying this about, and I just want you to use your imagination to understand that it's a lot that went into them traveling. And if they were married, I know they had to ask the wives, and the wives had to ask them, say, you going where? And you going why? Because you saw a star? You going because you read in some prophecies? And if it had been some of the 20th century, 21st century women, they never would have made the trip. Well, let me say it this way. If it had been some of these 21st century men, they never would have made the trip because they can't be men like those men were back then. Amen. Well, all right. I still messed it up, but okay. But that's all right. That's all right. That's all right. You know, some men can just say, I'm going on a trip. Amen. Amen. And wives just want to know when you're coming back. How long will you be? Amen. But I know that day is far gone. Amen. Amen. I better not go to the store without saying, I'm on my way to the store, and I'll be back in 5 minutes. Amen. 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 Anyway, let me get off of that. Let me get off of that. What I'm saying to you is that it took energy. They didn't make it to Jerusalem without energy. They didn't make it to Jerusalem without determination. They did not make it there without sacrifice. These wise men traveled, and here's what else I like about that effort. When they got into Jerusalem, they began to inquire of all of the people around. Where is he that is born King of the Jews? Are we the only ones who know that a king has been born? Somebody in Jerusalem, somebody around here ought to know about this king. Evidently, just listening and reading the text, nobody else knew. Nobody else is even talking about it. These wise men come into town, and they start asking in the square, asking in the marketplace, going to the temple, asking everybody, where is he that is born King of the Jews? Finally, they raised so much stir in Jerusalem, word got to Herod, who is the king? And that's the difference between Herod and Jesus. Herod wasn't appointed king. Jesus was born king. In other words, somebody had to put him in his position. Jesus, amen, is the position. Herod was a jealous man. Herod was envious, good administrator, but his morals weren't good. Good administrator, but his morals weren't good. Economy was all right, but the morals weren't good. But anyway, all right, let me move on out of that. Amen. Amen. Let me move on out of that. Amen. Everything was looking good. Amen. But he would never have a rival to his throne. Nobody could take Herod's place. Somebody once said that you would rather be Herod's pig than to be his child, because he would kill his own child if he thought his child was a rival to him. But being a Jew, They don't eat pigs, amen. They don't eat pork, amen. But anyway, the point that I'm making is that these men put forth effort. Here's what Herod, when he got word, he privately called those men to him, and they said, I want to know, when did that star appear? And then after they told him when the star appeared, he told them, after inquiring among his people, that Bethlehem was where Jesus would be found, told them to go to Bethlehem. And then he said, search diligently. When you get to Bethlehem, I want you to search diligently until you find the child. And then once you find the child, I want you to come back and tell me, because I want to go and worship him also. That was a lie. While one wanted to worship him, the other wanted to destroy him. And you know what I like about it is that if you put forth effort, God will help you. I'm going to say that again. If you put forth effort, and it's all about trying to be in the will of God, and it's all about trying to find his son, the Lord will help you. The Lord will help you on your journey. And so the Lord intervened. When those wise men left Herod, the star that they saw at the beginning, that same star appeared again. And when that star appeared again, they were exceedingly glad, because they knew that the star that they saw that brought them to Jerusalem, now again, they see the same star, and that same star is now telling them, you all right? I got you. And that star led them straight to the house. Straight to the house. They didn't have to search diligently. The star led them straight to the house. And there Jesus was. So as I close, I like the gifts that they brought him. I like the effort. I like their awareness. But you cannot leave these wise men until you see what they brought. You can't worship unless you're going to give God something. Say it again, Brother Gibbs. You cannot acknowledge Jesus, who he is, unless you're going to give him something. The Lord wants something from you. You cannot say that I just want to acknowledge him and make obeisance to him. You're going to have to bring him something. And I'm going to go further to say that what these wise men brought in gold, frankincense, and myrrh, I'm going to talk about the three gifts, but I believe that these men, I mean, this family was poor. Mary and Joseph were poor. And so Jesus knew that Herod was a wicked man, and they were going to have to get out of town. And so they didn't have any money to get out of town. So the Lord fixed it where those wise men would give them enough money where they could get out of town and then still live in Egypt while they were in Egypt. Now, ain't that a good God? God knows what you need when you need it, and God fixed it where those wise men brought what they needed. And so when those wise men opened up their gifts, they gave gold, a gift for kings, frankincense, pure incense, sweet smell, which burned, is what most priests are anointed with. Myrrh was an anointing oil, but it was for dead bodies. But all three of them were expensive gifts. They cost a lot of money. And so they brought the very best to Jesus. And so as I conclude, are we going to be as wise as they? Will we seek Jesus? Will we really seek him above all men? If you have a relationship with Jesus, he'll make every other relationship what it ought to be. Seek him, because he is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Rose of Sharon. He's the Lily of the Valley. He's the Bright and the Morning Star. Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen, he is the water of life. He is the bread of life. He is the light of the world. He is the resurrection and the life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. There ain't nobody better than Jesus Christ, our Lord. You ought to seek him. If you seek him, I want you to seek him in Scripture. Don't just say, well, I want to know Jesus. The only way those men knew him is that they had to find him in the scripture. Somebody ought to make sure that this year when I make my journey and my relationship with Jesus firm, that it means because I'm going to stay in the scripture. The Bible tells us the word of God is a lamp unto our feet and is a light unto our path. That the word of God gives entrance into our hearts, and it brings light and it brings understanding into our heart. The Bible is clear. The Bible says, search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me. You can't have a relationship with Jesus without knowing the scripture. Get in the scripture this next year. Find Jesus in the scripture, because all of it talks about Jesus Christ, our Lord. And I beg us all, let's be as wise as these men. Let's put forth an effort. Don't just come to worship. If these men could travel 200 miles in order to get to the house of Jesus, somebody ought to be able to travel 30 miles and get to the house of God on Sunday morning. Somebody ought to have enough effort, amen, to make it here when the house of God and the people of God are meeting. If you can be inspired by these men, let's put forth more effort. Let's get here on time. Let's do the things that we need to be. Let's tell the world. Let's tell everybody. Do you know this Jesus? Let's talk about him in the marketplace. Talk about him on our job. Talk about him everywhere. He's worthy of our worship. He's worthy of our praise. And that's all I'm asking us to do this year. Let's make Jesus the center of our lives. Make him everything that he should be. He was worthy enough for those men to travel. Worthy enough for them to give him their very best. And I'm just asking us this year, let's make him, who is God's greatest gift to all of us. There will be no gift given this Christmas better than the gift God gave us, and that is the gift of Jesus Christ our Lord. So let's seek him, let's worship him, let's give to him. Are you here this morning? I pray that there's somebody here who wants to know Jesus in the pardoning of their sin. That's why gold was given, because he's a king. That's why frankincense was given, because he's the priest, the mediator between you and God. The reason that they gave myrrh is because he sacrificed his life for you. They prepared him for his burial. But thank God he was resurrected on the third day, and he said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. You ought to give your life to this Jesus. I'm begging you, don't end this year without Jesus. Don't end this year without being a part of his house, part of his kingdom. His kingdom will stand forever. His kingdom will outlive all kingdoms. You want to be in the Lord's kingdom. You come by hearing the gospel, believing it with all of your heart, repenting of your sin, confessing Christ to be the Son of God, buried with him in the water of grave of baptism. You identify with that Jesus. He'll make you a king and a priest himself, because you're washed in his blood. May God help you to do that. He says, I'm Alpha and I'm Omega. I'm the first and the last. I was dead, but I'm alive forevermore. I am he that is, was, and is to come. Somebody ought to give their life to Jesus. Somebody ought to come to Jesus. Will you come? Right now, while together we stand and sing, will you come?
Jesus is Lord, my Redeemer. How he loves me, how I love him. He is risen, he is coming. Lord, come quick.
To carry everything.
Everything.